Welcome to Focal Points, an Enphoto podcast hosted by Dori Howell. This is the place to be to learn how to build a photography business that you love. Welcome to the Focal Points podcast. My name is Dori Howell, and I'm very glad that you are here with us today. Today, my guest is Monica Jansen, and she is the owner and CEO of Jansen Communications. She's a small boutique marketing firm that serves small to mid-sized businesses, and they're committed to their marketing plan and helping you grow. I think photographers can relate to this because Monica and her team work with people just like us, and that her clients are short on time, expertise, and in-house resources to do everything themselves. And that is something that I can definitely relate with. Her firm has worked with household names and small startups as well. In addition to that, she's also a former client of mine who had the nerve to move her gorgeous kids and hunky husband all the way to Colorado away from me so I can't be their photographer anymore. And that was very, very upsetting. So after reconnecting on LinkedIn and reading some of her blog posts, I knew that she had to come on and share some of her incredible expertise with our audience. So welcome, Monica.
I am so glad to be here, Dori, and I'm so glad you reached out.
No, it's so great. And you know what? Little side note on this is I think the person who bought your house by our house is actually a client of my husband's.
Small world.
Isn't that weird? Yep. He went there and he's like, I always ask him when he's going to certain clients' house, like, where is it and everything. He's like, it's over there off of, you know, this road and this road, backing up to the bike trail and everything. I'm like, huh, I'm pretty sure I know whose house that is or whose house that used to be. So that's always really funny when he goes over there. I'm like, oh, yeah, he's at Monica's house. That's good. So I asked Monica here because, like I said, we reconnected on LinkedIn, and I was really, really drawn into some of the freebies and the blog posts that she has about copywriting and blogging and all those good marketing things that small businesses need to be paying attention to. And I also loved the idea so much that she helps businesses who don't have the resources or the expertise, because photographers do not get into business to become marketers, bloggers, writers, and those types of things. And we're always looking for ways to make that job easier. So Monica, if you wouldn't mind, just share a little bit about your background and what you think that your firm brings to the table when you're helping your clients in this area.
Sure. Yeah. So I majored in marketing in college. And in my early 20s, I just kind of bounced around from job to job. I graduated in 1997 and the job market was not good. But I always knew, like, I loved writing, I loved marketing, and just by hook and by crook, I created an agency. I started out as a solopreneur, you know, just like naive, just like hung out my shingle. I'm a good writer. I know marketing. I'm just going to do my own thing. You know, my kids were little at the time. And yeah, I just like, I did tons and tons of networking and created a really fantastic client base. And yeah, now I've got a small team of people who, some people work with me on a regular basis. Some people I just, you know, pull in as needed. But I think the thing that sets us apart is, well, really fun to work with. I especially am known for telling it like it is and making you laugh at the same time, which I think is just absolutely delightful. A friend of mine told me that, and I'm like, oh my God, yes, that's me.
I know, that's great. It's a wonderful, wonderful skill when you can deliver hard news to someone and make them smile at the same time. And it's something that I can do often as well. And I've always tried to put that into words. Like, what is that skill? Like, why do people feel comfortable? Like, I can literally smack them in the back of the head and they're laughing at the same time. And it's hard to put that into words, but that is a great way to put it.
Yeah. Well, you can use that too, Dori.
Okay. I'm totally stealing that.
So, but I think, I mean, that's what sets me apart. I think just, you know, as a vendor, you know, for my clients. But in general, I think what sets Jansen Communications apart is we just do not create generic content. We don't just go off and write in, you know, a corner or in a vacuum and make things up. Like, we collaborate closely with our clients to make sure we're capturing their expertise, we're capturing their tone of voice. Everything is aligned with their brand and their business goals. You know, you could come to me and say, hey, Monica, I want to do X, Y, and Z. And after talking to you for a while, I might say, X and Y aren't best for your business and your goals. Let's just focus on Z, and here's why, and here's the plan. So,
yeah, let's
and
I do it.
I get to talk to my clients like on a regular basis, you know, like every month. And it's wonderful. I love the people that I work with.
That's so great. Now, when I was doing the research for this podcast, I looked through pretty much every word on your website. I didn't read every blog post, but like everything else I took a look at. And I love the idea that business should be fun and that it should be lighthearted and that we can achieve great things using our personalities. And one thing that really struck out for me was your team's job descriptions. We have Stacy, who's the copywriting queen, Greg, who's the senior copywriter and the token male of the team, right? And then we have Stephanie, the minister of assistance. So you can tell right away that your approach is going to be unique and somewhat different. Mm-hmm. My first question for you is, how did you develop this unique outlook on business that is or could be considered a little bit quirky? Mm-hmm. And how has taking a more non-traditional approach to this helped your business? Mm.
I can't be someone who I'm not. Mm-hmm. I'm an Aquarius.
Me too.
I'm very much an Aquarius. I don't march to the beat of my own drummer.
Yeah.
Like I tell it like it is, you know, I'm very straightforward, not mean, right? But very straightforward. And in all of my, like when I was really heavy networking, you know, in person and getting my business going, I realized that just being myself and not trying to be, you know, someone else, you know, just very professional and very formal and blah, you know, that was resonating with people, just me being myself. I was, you know, people would be like, my gosh, you're just such a breath of fresh air. And I'm like, really, this is just me.
This is just
it. You know, so some of it is personality. Mm-hmm. Some of it's the way I'm wired. And, you know, as a business owner, you get to shape your brand.
Right, right. I find that in the photography industry specifically, there's so many people who don't take the steps to truly lean into their uniqueness.
Yep.
And they're just copying what they see other people do. And I can't imagine that this is unique to photography, you know, that you can see it across other 100%. Other industries as well, right? Mm-hmm. But they don't step out and like really embrace the fact that they are a little bit quirky, that they do have these personality traits and everything like that. And I'm a victim of playing it safe for a really long time because my business kind of depended on it. And when I made a shift, I'm like, you know what? I don't want to be like anybody else anymore. So I think that comes with a little bit of growth, a little bit of maturity. And when's your birthday? I'm just going to ask you this.
January 25th.
Okay, you're the 25th. I'm February 13th. So very close together. Yeah. And I'm not really into that whole like astrology stuff at all. But I do think that personality types take a huge role in how we run our business. So to get to the meat of the matter, and what we came to actually talk about today was blogging. Specifically, I want to talk about blogging because recently blogging has been a huge, huge, awesome thing for my business, which I always poo-pooed it before. I was like, I don't want to blog. I don't really want to do that. So it's like, it was the one thing that was on my to-do list that always got bumped to the next day, to the next day, to the next day, to the next day. So as a marketing professional and someone who earns their living and helps business through their word, why do you believe that blogging is so important in our marketing efforts, especially for creatives?
Yeah.
All right, this seems like the perfect place for us to stop the conversation and remind you that if you have not signed up at Enphoto to get your 75% off a sample off their beautiful albums, you need to do that today. Enphoto creates beautiful handcrafted albums for your clients, and they're going to make you look great, and they're going to show your photos in a beautiful, beautiful way. If you have not signed up for that 75% off sample, you need to do that. To find the link, go to the show notes page, focalpointspodcast.com, and go ahead and sign up today.
So before I answer that question, Dori, I just want to go back to something that you had commented on earlier, you know, that we are working in a creative field, you know, and so we are quirky. Photography is an art form, you know, and artists are known to, you know, to have quirks, to be like a little eccentric. I mean, embrace that. People will really, it's such a great gift that you can give to others, is really embracing who you are and sharing that with the world. So, you know, don't be afraid that you need to be all buttoned up. People will get you and they're going to remember you.
Right. And I think they'll remember you more. Like, you want to stand out when you go to networking events or that type of thing is not being like everyone else.
Right.
And I do know some photographers, you know, in complete transparency, that I believe take it entirely too far in how they stand out. And it becomes cringy, or I think the word these days is choogy, you know, like,
yeah,
yeah, like it just is ew. Like, don't do that. So It is within moderation, because you want to attract people to you. You don't want them to look at you and be like, ugh, they're just really, really weird. Yeah. But embracing that creativity, that mm-hmm. spark, that thing that makes you a little bit different is what is going to attract people to you. So yeah. I love that 100%. so much.
100%.
All right. Now to blogging, which seems like a total subject shift, because we're talking about being creative and all the content. And that's like, blogging.
Like, well, blogging is both an art and a science, really. Yeah. So, you know, there's a lot of creativity that goes into it.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Okay, so why is blogging so important? Your blog actually serves two audiences. It is for people. Okay, so your website visitors, mm-hmm. and it is for machines. So the algorithms that help determine search ranking and mm-hmm. where you appear in search results. And obviously, you know, these two are very tightly intertwined, okay? Blogs support search rankings, mm-hmm. which makes you more visible online, mm-hmm. which allows you to be found by new people. Mm-hmm. Which increases traffic to your website, which also improves your ranking, right? So it turns into this like flywheel effect, just mm-hmm. having an active blog on your website. And you're not going to see, well, let me not say that. Your first blog could go viral. Mm-hmm. It's very rare. Usually you're going to start seeing this over years. Mm-hmm. So a couple of years ago, I cut back from blogging every week to twice a month, and I haven't seen any change in website visitors or search rankings, because I'd already been blogging for so long. Like, I already have domain authority. Mm-hmm. So, you know, be patient with anything marketing. You have to be patient. Don't expect instant success.
Right. And I think that's such a big struggle, that right there, because mm-hmm. we see social media and it's so instantaneous and it's so forgetful. Like, unless you're top of mind all the time, like on Instagram or Facebook or that, or even LinkedIn, mm-hmm. but a blog is a way for you to create something that will give you longevity in the marketing field or in the marketing realm with your business. And that is something that I was really interested in when, after the pandemic and after I changed niches and everything,
yep.
that I really wanted to, what is going to give me the biggest bang for my buck, for my time mm-hmm. and everything when it comes to marketing. And I decided to start blogging again. And it was mm-hmm. something that I hadn't done for a really long time,
yeah.
but I'm just now starting to see the benefits of it.
Good.
And it's
good.
It's incredible. Every inquiry I get is from Google, from my blog. And from it feeds the algorithm, and I'm getting more inquiries from than ever. And it's not, I'm not having to spend as much time on social media. I'm not having to mm-hmm. plug into my Facebook page all the time, which doesn't get as much traction as it used right. to.
Yeah.
And another thing that I think people forget is, because it's so long lasting, I can go back a year later and pull up a blog post and post it into LinkedIn or republish mm-hmm. it to my page or mm-hmm. whatever. And I'm not having to recreate that wheel all the time.
Oh yeah. So. Oh yeah. Reuse content, recycle content wherever you can. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Like, one thing that I do is I'll go back to a blog post maybe from like 5 years ago
mm-hmm.
that got a lot of traffic then, and I'll update it for today, because things change so quickly in marketing. Mm-hmm. Technology changes in the photography world. I don't think, you know, readers really care, but trends change, mm-hmm. right? Like,
yeah.
who knew that like barn weddings and mason jars and, you know, like all that, who knew that that was still going to be a popular trend all these years
right.
later?
Right. So let me ask you this. When you are repurposing your content, you say you go back, you know, a few years and you pull up a blog post. Are you just reworking that same blog post, or do you take it and copy it and rework it and post it as new content?
I post it as new content.
You do. And it's perfectly fine if you have three blog posts 5 years apart that say kind of the same thing, but updated for current trends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. And you can say, you know, at the beginning, you know, this is a riff on a blog post, you know, from 5 years ago, and I wanted to update it to today. You know, it's going back to being like authentic and genuine.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that's real important. I struggle with repurposing social media content. I think for me, it's more of a visual thing because I've lost so much weight in the past year and a half, 2 years. It's like, I don't want to post that old, like that old stuff because that's not what I look like anymore. And I don't want to put, I don't want to continue to put that out into the world, but my written words don't have that same thing. I can adjust them. I can change the thumbnail. I can add a new thing to it. And it's something that I think is super easy to do and that we forget to do it. So a lot of photographers, they do kind of bristle at the idea of starting a blog. And I love the fact that you just said, you know, you're only posting what, 2 blog posts a month now, which doesn't sound overwhelming. If someone's never started a blog and they don't have it on their site and they're very new to this, what are maybe some tips that you could help them kind of get over the hump and be like, come on, it's not that hard. Try this, this, and this.
Okay. I think a lot of the reason people hesitate is they don't know what to blog about. Like, what does my audience even care about?
Right.
What should I be writing about? And this is a problem for everyone. You're a subject matter expert. You know, like, all the stuff about photography, right? And you forget that not everyone knows all of those things, like even the really basic stuff. So for instance, like if you do portraits outside. So Dory, when you photographed my family, we were outside. There, you, it's not just about picking the location. It's about, you know, how to manage natural light, what time the light is going to be best in that location. Like, explaining that process might sound like she's really basic. Like, doesn't everyone know this? No, not everyone knows it.
Right. Right.
And it's really interesting to get into the mind of a creative, you know, how do they approach it? How do they think about it? Oh, and then you can connect it to, look, this is a portrait that, or these are, this is the same location at different times of day. See how the light is different, you know, so whatever.
I think some people think that that isn't interesting, but I do believe that there's been a shift in recent years, especially with social media, that people want to see behind the curtain of what you do. That doesn't mean, and here's the other thing, it doesn't mean they want to do it.
No.
It just means they want to see what you're thinking when you go through this process.
Yes, exactly.
Right?
Like, how do you get babies and children and pets to cooperate when you're doing a big family portrait?
Oh, that's just treats and a prayer. Like, really? That's all that is. I can tell you that right now. That's just like crossing fingers, praying, having as many snacks and treats as possible, and maybe a few princess songs. Like, that's just right. But no, people want to know.
Yeah. I mean, you can tell stories about photo shoots or clients, and both the challenges and the triumphs. So, you know, a friend of mine in the DC area, who's she does a lot of commercial photography. I don't think she does any private stuff. But she recently posted on LinkedIn about this photo shoot that she did. I feel like it was last summer, and nothing was right. It was the middle of the day. In the summer, right? So you've got all that harsh light,
right,
you've got
right.
harsh shadows. It was hot as hell. And there were other things going on too. And she's like, I was almost ready to give up, but then here are the solutions that I found. Which I just thought was, it was so neat for her to share that. Like, this was, this photo shoot was going like off the rails and she saved it.
Yeah. And we've all had things like that, especially if you are a family and a newborn photographer. We've all had those sessions where, like, inside your head, you are freaking out because you don't know how you're going to salvage this. And and sharing those stories, I think, is super, super important. One thing that I always suggest people to do, and Monica, you can tell me if this is the right thing to do or not. But I think we're always told, like, how can we solve problems for our clients? Right?
Yeah.
So photographers, I think, look at that as saying, like, okay, well, what do we solve when we, when we're asking people to book us for a session? Like, they're pictures. Like, that's, is it a, it's not really a problem, right? It's a want. It's not something that needs to happen. What I always tell my coaching clients, I'm like, yeah, okay, so they know they want pictures, but they have problems and obstacles when it comes to actually booking that session because they don't know what to wear. They don't think their kids and their dog will cooperate. They don't know where to have the session. Dad doesn't want to do it. So instead of addressing the picture, the problem of like the want, what are the hurdles getting them to the point of booking? Like, how can you help them with those issues? Because those are very real issues. So is that a good way to approach some content on your blog of solving those problems, but you don't have to think of it so literally, like it can be to the buildup?
100% I actually have a quote right here in front of me that I wanted to share during this blog post. And that is such a good segue. I came across this quote online. It's from Michael Brenner, who's the CEO of the Marketing Insider Group. I don't know him. I don't know his company. But he said, and again, fantastic quote, just wait to the end. You must know what your customer is trying to accomplish in order to create content they'll find valuable and that they'll read. Think about it. This is why blog articles like how-to guides, checklists, and listicles for top tools or strategies are all so popular. They help people solve a problem or accomplish an important task. So if you think about this in terms, you know, going back to doing like that family portrait, you're helping them solve multiple problems and at the same time accomplishing an important task. Because, you know, if you have small children, you want to capture them and their adorableness, you know, in this moment. You want to be able to share that portrait with family. You know, the grandparents are probably going to get it framed, you know, for Christmas. Like there's a lot going on. You're not just taking photos of people.
Right. It's so much more than that. And there's so many small people can't hear us or see us, quote unquote, problems within that transaction that you can help people get over. And we don't want to think that people get caught up in the small little problems, but people totally get caught up in the small little problems. Moms don't book photo sessions for years because they find the idea of finding clothes for everybody overwhelming. People don't book headshot sessions for years because they don't think they think they need to walk in knowing how to pose or that type of thing. Or they think that iPhone pictures are going to be their best phone friend when it comes to their professional images, which we know that's not the case at all. So starting a blog can just take some of those simple little things and you can expand on them. In your writing on your website, you write that high quality blog posts. You specifically say high quality blog posts that can attract high quality leads, get found by search engines, etc. So what is or what do you consider a high quality blog post? What needs to be in that post?
Oh, what a juicy question. I love this. gosh, there's a lot of factors. So let me try to just simplify it here. One, the blog post is very specific to you and your expertise and your point of view and your process, your approach, whatever. It's a blog post that only you can write. No one else can write it.
Okay.
So this is why I'm like just so down. ChatGPT.
Oh, we were going to get there. Don't worry. That's in there. But if you want to go there now, I mean,
it's a glorified search engine.
It's a search engine. I love ChatGPT, but I'm not using it. I use it for research. And I use it for different ways of wording things and that type of thing just to get some creative ideas. I never, ever copy and paste anything out of ChatGPT or anything like that. But it is a search engine. So a high quality blog post includes your perspective on something that serves your audience. What else?
Let's see. It's drawing back that curtain, right? Letting people get into your head, into your brand. It sounds like you. So if you didn't know me, you know, prior to this podcast interview, if you didn't know me, but you had read my stuff and now we're talking, you should be able to recognize me. Oh yeah, this is Monica. Sounds just like her, you know, on her website as she does in person.
Right.
A high quality blog post or podcast, high quality blog post is, it's got to be formatted properly for reading and for search engines. That's a whole nother topic that we could spend like an hour or two talking about. So I'm not going to get into it. But that's the more like technical side of blogging. Because remember, and I talked about this before, you know, you're writing for two audiences. You're writing for your website visitors and you're writing for machines. So you always have to keep, you don't write for the machines first, but you keep the machines in your back pocket.
Yeah.
What else? I think that those are my top tips.
Yeah. The formatting and that type of thing. I recently did become SEO certified. So I do kind of understand how all this works. I used to think like the heading and all those, that was just font sizes. Like if I just want to highlight something, I'll just make it heading one or I'll just put it in heading two. If I want something bold or, you know, all those different things. To me, it was more of a design design thing versus how I'm actually speaking to Google and how they want, how I want them to read my posts for the algorithm. So I actually did a really big article on this a few weeks ago in my weekly newsletter, and it's now a blog post on my site. Perfect. So what I do, for those of you who aren't getting the weekly Cole newsletter that I send out, go ahead and sign up. We'll have that in the show notes. But I do a lot of these things to kind of break it apart. And one time I did just take apart headings. Like, how should this work? And we could talk about this for hours because I have even though I'm like, quote unquote, certified, very high level understanding of how all this works. And as I go into it more and more, I'm like, ugh, like again, I'm creative. I don't want to pay attention to those details. Just make it pretty and make it work.
Yeah, I know. But you know, part of that, the formatting rules that are best to follow also help your reader, right? It breaks up those headers, subheads. They break up the content. It makes it easier to skim and find exactly what you're looking for, you know, as a reader. So it is definitely worth learning how to format blog posts properly.
And I find my struggle with that is that sometimes being a creative, working within that formatting idea, and I kind of liken it to when you're learning how to write an essay in high school, you have your topic sentence and your three supporting points and your conclusion, and you have your, you know, your thesis statement and all that type of thing. It really is similar to that, so that the algorithms know how to categorize things. And I'll date myself here because my kid, I don't even think knows what a card catalog is, right? Like, I talk to her sometimes, said, "Mom,
Dewey Decimal System."
Yeah, like, well, Dewey Decimal still exists, but it's through the computer. Like, nobody has to go to the card catalog and like pull out the cards anymore, right? So some of that can stifle me. I feel like it stifles me creatively, and it just takes a little more time for me to work through how that feels authentic to me and also can satisfy formatting requirements. Because ultimately, I want the blog to work for me. And if I don't if I don't follow the rules, then why am I even spending my time doing it?
100%. Yeah, 100%. And I just want everyone to know, even though I'm a professional copywriter, I sometimes will sit down to write a blog post for Janssen Communications and be like, you know, like I have the topic, but it can be hard for me to get started or I'll just like stall out halfway through and I'll come back to it. But it is part of my routine. I don't let it slide. You know, it's such a slippery slope to be like, I'll do that later. You know, once you start giving yourself excuses, then it's a lost cause. So
that's kind of like with everything in life, I think, too.
Everything in life, not just blogging.
Right. Okay. So the question of the hour is, what are your thoughts on AI programs like ChatGPT, where you can go in and you can say, hey, I'm a photographer, write me a blog post that tells people what to wear for fall family portraits in fall foliage, give me a what to wear guide. And then you hit enter and it barfs out basically all this stuff.
Yeah.
That you think is awesome, but not always awesome. But what do you think of this emerging technology as it's coming about?
Okay, so I said earlier, it's a glorified search engine, right? So instead of, you know, you go into Google search and you type in the same prompt and you're just going to get links, which may or may not be relevant, right? You have to go through all the links. We all know how that works. Mm-hmm. Okay, so ChatGPT, they're giving you a narrative, but they are scraping everyone's ideas. They're using a pretty generic tone of voice, mm-hmm. and they're just scraping it off the internet and putting it into a narrative for you. So mm-hmm. I've used it for research as well, Dory, like you.
Yeah.
It takes just as much time for me to rewrite what ChatGPT has already spit out mm-hmm, mm-hmm. than it does to even, you know, do a regular Google search and start pulling ideas that way. So and I love that prompt. It's very, very specific. Mm-hmm. But I would just take, all right, what are the top things that I'm learning that, or maybe not learning, you probably already know this, but what are the top tips that ChatGPT is giving me? I'm just going to pull those pieces mm-hmm. and I'm going to copy and paste them and put them into my Word doc or Google doc, whatever, and then start writing from there. You know, like, so start talking about, you could start out with, hey, this is something that I get asked all the time. You know, mm-hmm. How should you dress? What color should you use? How should you coordinate, you know, colors and patterns and outfits, but that's also complimentary, you know, to the scenery.
Right.
And then, you know, just go through or start adding your own ideas to what ChatGPT said. But just like doing a regular Google search, just pull those pieces that are going to be easy for you to then customize. Don't publish everything that ChatGPT spit out at you.
No,
and lot of it, I mean, you'll also see, like, a lot of it will be repetitive. Mm-hmm. The word choice, you know, you would never use the word drowsy, for instance, you know. I don't know how that comes into doing a fall portrait, but
you don't want to do a fall portrait when your children are drowsy.
Absolutely.
I think for me, when I use ChatGPT, my big things are I can go in and I can get some idea prompts and that type of thing, but almost everything that I write, even if they get the tone right, they're not saying it how I would authentically say it. So it's just a matter of getting that information, be like, oh, okay, like we talked earlier about kind of like hitting a wall or hitting a dry spell and not being having the words, like I can't do it right now, like not having the words to finish the blog post. Yeah. You can use it as something to kind of kickstart mm-hmm. your brain into it, mm-hmm. but it's always best, don't copy and paste this. And I have an AI cheat sheet for photographers. And that's the biggest thing that I say in this mm-hmm. cheat sheet. I say, listen, you cannot copy and paste. It is not going to be authentic. And we also know that SEO likes original content.
100%.
And ChatGPT is not giving you original content. Yeah. So that could work against you mm-hmm. in the long run if you're taking a lot of those things and it's not original to you. It's not your true voice. It's not the words that you would use. And if you're just copying and pasting it, you're basically copying it from someone else's site, using mm-hmm. it as your own, which we mm-hmm. don't like. Mm-hmm. And it will bite you in the butt big time down the road.
Yeah. So. And even if it doesn't damage your search rankings or bite you in the butt further down mm-hmm. the road,
yeah,
it's not going to support them. You're just going to stay at the same level, you know, in search rankings. You're never going to move up. You mm-hmm. might never move down either, but mm-hmm. it's not doing anything.
So why bother?
It's a waste of time, money, and resources.
Yeah. Why bother? And it's very interesting. There's one company right now in our arena where it's kicking out a lot of blog posts, and they're, you can spot a bot written blog post a mile away if you pay attention. At least I can. And I'm just like, yeah, a computer wrote that. Mm-hmm. A computer wrote that. They're just copying and pasting it. I'm like, why? Don't do it. And I'm like, I should call them and tell them, but I'm not going to, because that's not my place. But, you know, it's not good. So AI can be used for getting things going, but you don't want to use it as your writer for your,
stuff.
Absolutely. Yes. Okay. So we've covered a few things today, which I think are really important for us as creatives. We want to write in our own voice. Mm-hmm. We want to let our quirkiness shine to a certain degree, though we're not turning people off, but people appreciate seeing creatives at work. So what we can do for our blog posts is we can show behind the scenes, we can help them. There's a lot of different things that we can do. So the question of the hour is, there are a lot of photographers who are going to listen to this and say, Dory, that sounds all really well, great, and good, but I have no interest in doing this, but I might want to ask Monica and her company to do it. So how can they find you if they're interested in outsourcing some of these things?
Sure. Well, you can find me personally and reach out on LinkedIn. My handle is Monica. It's Monica with a K, middle initial C, Jansen, J-A-N-S-E-N. So we can connect on LinkedIn if you'd like, or you can, you know, check out what I'm posting on LinkedIn. And then you can always go to my website, which is jansencom with two M's.com.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what Monica is not telling you is on her website, which we will link in the show notes, is she has some really great resources that you can get that are free that talk about she has a small business guide to blogging, a small business guide to social media marketing, email newsletter checklist for small businesses, a website copywriting tip guide, and also how to keep up with marketing, an ebook that she has there for people to get. And I've downloaded, I think, all of those things, and they're all very, very good. And I'm like, oh yeah, wow. Which kind of prompted having you here today. I'm like, yeah, we need to do this. So go to jansen.com with two M's, get some of those free resources that that she has available. And if you're just one of those people just like, no, I just want to throw some money on it, have somebody do it for me, Monica and her team would be the first place that I would call. So, yeah.
And we just actually launched a package we called the Breakthrough Marketing Package, where you get one blog post and one email a month. And for most small businesses, that's plenty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We see a lot of people's emailing every day and all those types of things. And I don't really think that that's helping anything, because I don't read all those emails that I get from Sephora every single day, or Ulta every single day, or all these other people. You don't have to be in people's inboxes. And I don't think people want you in their inboxes that much to be effective. So you have that. So if that interests you, you can also contact Monica and her team as well. Mm-hmm. So Monica, I want to thank you so much for being here with me today. It was a really great honor. And I thank you so much for adding your voice to our conversation.
Thank you. It was super fun. Thanks again, Tori.
Great. Thanks. Hey everyone, I hope you've enjoyed the program. I have a quick request. If you've enjoyed this program or enjoyed other programs that we've brought to you courtesy of Focal Points and InPhoto, I would love for you to head over to Spotify or iTunes and leave us a review. These help us more than you know when it comes to getting the word out about the program and how we can help other photographers who might be dealing with some of the same struggles that you are. We appreciate your time. We appreciate your review today.